For people who are new to human design, this isn't like astrology. This isn't like you were born here and there. This is what's going to happen to you.
So the idea is that, if I can get a bit sciencey, there are these subatomic particles called neutrinos, and they are controlled by something called the weak force. Neutrinos penetrate through everything. And most of the neutrinos on Earth are generated and made by the planets. The theory is that the day you're born, the time and the place, that's your first neutrino stream into life. That is the first sort of seeding that you get of energy. And that starting energy, like you said, it's not that it's going to change. It's always your energy. You just become more and more of it.
Welcome, beautiful Jenna Zoe. I adore you. World-leading expert in human design, creator of My Human Design app, which I'm obsessed with. I've been glued to it every single night this week.
Wow.
I can't tell you, you know when things come into your life at the perfect time? Yeah. I've known about human design for a while now, but the reports have always been like really complicated, hard to understand. It was actually my husband that introduced me to human design. He worked with a coach and had like incredible results. And then all of a sudden I meet you.
Wow.
And it felt like I'd known you forever. And I've been doing a deep dive, and I feel like it's given me so much understanding. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we connected.
Me too. I just think that there's so many synergies. So before we get started, Rooted in Wellness, this is a podcast that's all about ancient wisdom in our modern world. And really, but how we can become more rooted in our health, in ourselves, but also our inner wisdom to heal. So we start off this episode, or each episode, with asking, what are the three things that help you feel more rooted in your health, in your life, and your happiness?
I love that question. Things that make me feel rooted. This is a funny one, but I like to sit on the bathroom floor and just put my hand on my heart. Yeah, it just feels like a safe place. Anywhere I am in the world, I just like to have my sort of bathroom floor time and just sort of really feel what I'm feeling, rather than the stories of what I'm telling myself is going on, because they're often two different things. You know, it's incredible what I really learned from that is that the things, the feelings that we try not to feel, they're actually not as scary when you feel them, and they don't last as long. Then they're just running from feeling them. So I love to do that. I love to do sort of, I call them emotion walks. I love to just go for a walk and kind of choose songs that are going to tune me to a certain like mood or frequency or something that I need that day. And I just literally walk and just hear the frequency of the music. So if I need to be happy, I'll choose something different than if I need to just like feel deep and, you know, those kind of things. And then the third thing I will say is, and it's such a basic one, but like I am a sleeper. Like I need to sleep so well. And my worst thing is having to get up with an alarm. So not setting alarm is like the biggest thing that I think I've, that really helps me feel good in my day and rooted in myself, because I feel like I land back. Do you know when you felt like you haven't slept enough? It's almost like your body hasn't come back into yourself yet.
Yeah, you're not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like to wake up feeling there, you know.
Do you call those, are they rituals for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's these daily practices, right? So that's fascinating. Grounding kind of heart coherence in a bathroom. I kind of love the symbolism behind that, because like you literally are cleansing there, you're releasing there, you're resetting there, right? That's kind of beautiful. And music for me has been a really big thing this year.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like there's so much happening in the world. And when you can learn, and what I work with my clients on is how to shift your state. Music for me is so powerful. Yeah. So I love that you call that out, because we all have access to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So on the flip side, you know, there's daily habits for some people that they might not even realize are uprooting them to the point where, you know, I've noticed with so many clients, these rituals could actually be the source of their poor health choices, their inflammation, their life not feeling totally grounded or happy. Are there three things that make you feel uprooted in your life? And what are they?
I guess something that really throws me is riding high on too much excitement and stimulation, and going riding high off it for too long and not realizing when my body has kind of going to need to take a break. So I'll get to the point where I'll just be absolutely overstimulated, high off that stimulation, and then be much more low than if I pulled back kind of when I saw it coming. You know, it's almost like with kids.
Yeah.
You know when they've had enough, and then you say, okay, I see where this is going. I don't do that sometimes with myself. So that really uproots me. And the other thing I would say that uproots me is, the obvious one is the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one is really obvious. And this one is a kind of a funny one, but I feel like something I've been experimenting a lot with recently is understanding which boxes things go into. So you don't need to play every role of yourself in every relationship.
Right.
You know, so for example, it's okay if some people are acquaintances. It's okay if some people don't want to go that deep with you. You don't have to play that same role with everybody. Someone once told me, it's like, you can be a sip of champagne or you're a big bottle of still water. You know what I mean? So yeah. The small glass of champagne doesn't want the big still deep waters and stuff. So yeah. I realized that was really making me feel, again, overstimulated and overwhelmed. You know, I think that's the word, is overwhelmed makes me feel uprooted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you say then, have you learned that you've had to set boundaries? Is this something that's new for you? Would you call it setting boundaries?
You know, it's so funny because I always had a sort of an allergy to that word, but that is what it is.
Yeah. I feel the same way because it's not about a declaration all the time. Like sometimes it can just be.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to put a stake in the ground to say, you know what, we're just going to be acquaintances. Like
yeah.
You don't have to declare it.
Totally.
Right? It can just be like a trusting that you have within yourself.
Yeah. And it's almost like, for me, it's shown up as more a restraining of pouring so much energy voluntarily without necessarily people even asking.
Yeah.
So then, you know what I mean? It is a boundary, but it's more of a calling your energy back in a way, or knowing how much to put into different things.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Mm.
And I have to ask, so you and I are both from mixed ethnic descent. We're both half Indian.
Mm-hmm.
With that boundary and how you show up for friendships and stuff like that, growing up, did you fit in? Were you always trying to show up as being more to, because you didn't fit in?
That's such a good question. You know, I grew up in London, and London is the most mixed city in the entire world. There's no English people in London. Like, you never meet English people. And it's funny because all of my mom's friends were Arab, Egyptian, Indian, Russian, like from all over the place. So it never was like a thing for me about the fitting in or the not fitting in. And everyone at school was completely mixed too. There'd be so many Mediterraneans and French. And I went to a French school until I was 11. So it never really entered my awareness until, you know, super recently, when the sort of more collective conversation started happening, which is interesting.
So interesting. And thank you for answering, because I feel like as a kid, I was always trying to fit in, right? Mm. I was either never brown enough, never white enough. My parents put me into French immersion and was always trying to do my best to fit in, which often felt like I had to show up in a different way to meet with different people, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say, to bring this around to human design, this is really the first year of my life that I can remember taking full ownership and just who I am. And for a long time, the work that I've been doing with my clients over the past decade has been around this remembering, like try to remember your essence and your vibration. And I thought that I had done that myself, but I'm still doing the work to really remember, like, what is it about me that makes me so unique in this world? And how can I let that shine despite everything else? So that takes us into human design. I really think that from what I've learned just so recently, it's almost, it's a gift. It helps you unlock this blueprint about who you are, why you are the way that you are, so that you have this like radical ownership and acceptance, right? And in the same way, just like meeting you, where I felt like I'd known you forever, I was going through your app and I was like, oh my, listening to your voice, of course, which is the best part. And I'm like, how does she know? How does she know these things about me that no one would ever know otherwise? So for our listeners, let's just start by giving like a brief overview. What is human design? How does it integrate to ancient healing practices? Well, we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So human design is a modality that is similar to astrology in the sense that it takes your birthplace, your birth time, and your birthday, and it calculates your energy, your aura. So what it is, when you see your human design, when you put your information into the app or the website is myhumandesign.com and the app is My Human Design. You put in your exact birth info, including the time, and it maps, literally it maps your aura, which is your energy body. We know about the aura, right? Mm. So what it says is that everybody, before they come into this life, they choose exactly the way they need to be built, exactly the way they need to operate, the unique specific skills and talents that they're going to need to fulfill the mission that they have in this lifetime, if you believe in reincarnation. So when you look at someone's design, you see what you inherently came in with. And the invitation there is to actually re-embrace that, because oftentimes those are the things that stuck out. Those mm-hmm. are the things that people got, you know, picked on for, or we understood negatively. That's often where we have shadow, because where you stick out is where you have a threat of also not belonging. And we equate one with being, you know, mutually exclusive with the other one. So the first part is really understanding the things that you do have and learning to bring them front and center to everything you're doing in your life. The second thing is understanding all the things that you're not, and all the ways that we've been conditioned to try to be these things, because, for example, they're going to get us success, love, you know, money, all the things that we think we want. And so we're living in a world that is so conditioned that says this is the one way to get everything. This is the, you have, in order to be successful, you have to have a business plan. In order to be healthy, you have to, you know, work out every day in the same intensity, for example, right? These things sound so obvious to us because we're swimming in a soup of this conditioning that's only serving to narrow us down to be more similar. Oof. Whereas what human design is saying is actually we are all going to be better off when all of us are allowed to pop into our radical difference and to still have togetherness and to still feel like we belong. But in order to do that, we have to decondition from all the ways that we thought we were or the ways that we have to be in our heads that we don't actually.
And for some of us, decades of living in a way that we thought was about conforming, mm-hmm. owning our gifts, getting glimpses here and there of how we want to show up as ourselves, but it really is conditioning, right? And
yeah.
I can already sense, like, there's a lot of parents who are going to be listening. You know, my kids go back to school, they're 6 and 9. They're plugging into this program of sitting in this hard desk every single day, learning the same topics, being a certain way, and you know, it starts from such a young age.
Yeah.
So would you say, like, is human design an ancient wisdom?
So it's actually, it was downloaded in 1987, but it pulls on the I Ching, mm-hmm. the chakra system, the Kabbalah, and astrology. So it's kind of a modality all its own, but it pulls on those things. So for example, the 64 different, when you're looking at your chart, you'll see there are 64 different numbers, which all pertain to a gift, a skill, a trait, a talent. Those are directly pulled from the I Ching. And the I Ching is about, it's called the 64 ways because it identifies 64 different types of energy that exist in this world or different journeys that humans have to go through. So there are certain ones that you have and you come here, it's your duty to share those, right? We have to divide up the tasks if humanity is all going to get there together. Mm. So it's a way of mapping how those I Ching gifts show up in you, which ones you have to, you know, have a lifelong relationship with cultivating those things. And that's just one example. And the chakra system is the inspiration or the basis, let's say, for the way that the, when you're looking at your chart, you'll see there's all these different centers inside your chart. And in the chakra system, there are 7. Mm-hmm. And in human design, there are 9, because basically what we add is this sort of very nebulous other center called the G center, which is just the place that directs you in your life, like this thing that is so kind of love and belonging, and what do you move towards. So it's a different, you know, we have more and more chakras coming online anyway.
Yeah,
that's what they say is actually mm-hmm. we have 108. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And there's going to be 2 more as of 2027. There's going to be 11, because the kids born after 2027, some of them are going to have 2 more centers open up in their hands. So yeah, it's just an evolution of the way that that system was built. And then astrology, we look at the planets to calculate the time you were born and calculate your design from there. And then the Kabbalah is also, when you look at that chakra system, there's something in Kabbalah which is called the 10 levels, the 10 worlds, so the 10 different levels of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's also the way that the centers are mapped. So it pulls on a lot of different things, but it's a way of basically putting all that together and saying, how does this affect you and show up in you as an individual?
Gosh, there's so much to unpack in there. So for, you know, for people who are new to human design, this isn't like astrology. This isn't like you were born here and there. This is what's going to happen to you. You know, you're going to get a new house, get pregnant at this age. Instead, you know, they're looking at, you said, you know, where you were born, the year, the place, mm-hmm. right? And what is it? Is it science? Is it?
It is. Yeah. So the idea is that if I can get a bit sciencey, there are these subatomic particles called neutrinos, and they are controlled by something called the weak force, which means that how most particles, when they bump up against this table, they'll bounce back. They can't penetrate through. Neutrinos penetrate through everything. I mean, they have to be going through a 300-foot wall for some of them to not make it through. Like, it's that crazy. And they travel just under the speed of light. And neutrinos are most of the ones that we're swimming in right now. There's 100 million of them going through your thumb every second.
It's, oh my goodness,
a lot. And so we're swimming in this, what the founder of human design called a neutrino stream. And most of the neutrinos on Earth are generated and made by the planets. The sun in our solar system makes 70% of the neutrinos in this world, and then the other planets make some of the others. So what happens is the sort of download, the theory is that the day you're born, the time and the place, that's your first neutrino stream into life. That is the first sort of seeding that you get of energy, right? So that's why the time and the place matters, because where are you? What does that neutrino stream look like? What does it activate in you? So that's what we're doing, is we're saying, okay, this is the specific energy that you chose to be present around you when you popped into the world. And that tells us, if every soul is choosing exactly where it starts, then that tells you the starting energy. And that starting energy, like you said, it's not that it's going to change. It's always your energy. You just become more and more of it. And so that's really the whole point, is like, it's a scientific measurement that we take. And we also use another measurement, which is when the soul comes into the body, when the design, what we call the design and the personality meet, right? Your body and your insides, that weird part that we don't, can't smell and taste and touch, when they meet, which is roughly 3 months before you're born.
3 months before you're born.
Mm-hmm.
While you're in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So just because two people are born in the same place at the same time, their neutrino will be different, right?
If you are born at 1 minute different, the neutrino stream will be different.
Got it.
Yeah.
And would you say, like, you know, in yoga or in Vedic astrology even, we'll talk often about like an auric field.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, or neutrinos, is that a capacity where you can feel this within other people? Do you think that we're living at, you know, a point in time where we don't see it or feel it?
Yeah, I think we feel energy, but energy is an umbrella term that neutrinos are one part of.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, when I'm with you, your design, your aura, and my design, my aura, are kind of interlapping. So I can feel your energy that I wouldn't normally have access to your essence unless I'm with you. So that's a different kind of energy. And then, you know, we can start to feel the energy of the table and the energy of the space. So there's so many layers to energy, you know. But I do feel that this sort of very rudimentary scientific, quote unquote, energy, if that's what we want to call it, it is becoming more and more known by people. So, for example, when he talked about it, the founder talked about it in 97, he called it gray science, meaning it hasn't yet been totally confirmed, but people kind of know, but I'm going to sound crazy. And now, right now in the South Pole, there is a massive, I believe it's a 1 million cubic centimeter of ice that has sort of, if you will, holes in it that scientists are literally trying to pass neutrinos through in order to measure what they are like, what their behavior is like, all sorts of different things that scientists, I mean, that's just one of so many that scientists are now sort of trying to look into, that human design spoke about.
You have to make this more mainstream. You've been working so hard to do that. But, you know, to have this insight, the gift of it is that it takes us out of our limited view of what living on this earth is, okay? Let's go deeper just for a second. Just stay with me. Does this tie into the concept of quantum healing? You know, I can imagine if we come into this world at a certain time with a certain kind of code and things that we're going to fulfill and certain gifts and stuff like that, does that have to do with, you know, karma that we need to fulfill in this lifetime? Are they okay?
Yes.
You're nodding.
So there's something in your human design called your incarnation cross. When you look at your design, there's so many different layers to it. So like in astrology, you have your sun sign, your moon sign, your rising, all that stuff. It's the same in human design. You have so many different components. One of them is called your incarnation cross, and that is the purpose that you have to fulfill in this life. Imagine that life is basically saying, in order to have perfect harmony among human beings, we need the people who are the organizers. We need the people who are the people that make life beautiful. We need the people that whatever, whatever, and so on and so forth. There's 192 of them, and each one has 6 variations. So you have a very specific one. And what life does is it's churning us out almost like a production line, right? Where there's always a perfect number of allocated people with the certain gifts, right? So you have to fulfill your gift. And it is karmic because, for example, you know, we never know what happened in a previous life. We can obviously through different methods, but you know, there would be a reason why you have to make life beautiful in this life. And no matter what it is you do, you have to bring beauty to it. There's a reason why you have to sometimes be the one who creates tension in people, you know, to wake people up and to shake people up. And so, yeah, you can look at your incarnation cross for clues about what is the purpose of this lifetime for you. And that's very profound.
So for people who are listening, now's a really great opportunity. Go to the My Human Design app. It lists out specific gifts. And when I tell you that these gifts will feel really accurate to you, they're things about you that no one else will know. And I think for a lot of us, especially for me, I can say, I think as a woman getting older, coming into my 40s, there are things about myself that I know that I need to make true without knowing why. Mm-hmm. I just know that I'm deeply called to those things. So one of those things is, you know, helping other people, yeah. Right? Understanding, we'll go through these. So 192 and 6, but just understanding the way that I am based on these gifts just helps me feel like, oh, God, it just feels so much better to know, like, right? There's that sense of ownership.
Absolutely.
So can you go over the 6 types for us?
The energy types?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so your energy type is your main sort of starting point in human design, and it's actually nothing to do with your personality. It's just the most basic thing, which is, listen, if we're trying to reach goals and we're trying to become things and we're trying to live out this life, we need to first use our engine properly. So our engine has a specific way that it likes to use its energy. And when we honor that, we're kind of working uphill less because we're honoring the way that our machine likes to do work and likes to receive energy, likes to give energy, likes to rest, all those things. So you have 5 types, and you have generators, manifestors, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. And basically, when you know your energy type, if you knew nothing else about your chart, if you just started honoring your energy, that's where you see the result straight away. That's when people have life-changing stories of, oh my gosh, I just realized that I'm built this way. Mm-hmm. And I was told that I had to work this other way my whole entire life. So do you want me to give a little debrief on all the 5?
I would love that. Yeah. So I found out that I'm a generator, but my husband and my kids are manifesting generators.
Wow. Fun household.
Fun household.
So generators are basically the people who, the thing that they have in common is they're ruled by their sacral chakra, their gut. So the sacral is the ruler of all generators. And what happens with them is the sacral governs desire, right? The sacral governs food and creativity and sexuality and work and productivity, right? So for them, they have this engine that is just dying to pour into something that lights them up, and to have this almost reciprocal relationship with things that that really excite them, right? Where it pours into them, it lifts them up, then they pour back into it, and that craft becomes better. And then it's just like this upward cycle. And generators, they're very devoted people. And so when they like something and they do it over and over and they slowly, slowly pour more in, it compounds, right? Mm. It's that compound interest that all of a sudden a generator is seen to be a master of their craft because they've been at it and they've just loved the process so much. So the difficulty with them is that the world, the main conditioning with generators is you should do this. You should feel bad about saying no to that. This is the way you should do it. And it's so visceral to them. And this is where human design talks a lot about how the mind has gotten in the way of knowing how we work, because the mind is the one that's a spin doctor. It has all the stories of you have to do this because it's going to get you that. You can't do this without this or whatever. But what human design says, it's so rudimentary. It's so basic. It's our minds that like to overcomplicate it, because then we feel smart. We feel like we're spiritual, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So with generators, it's literally as basic as, do I feel that excitement? Do I want to move towards it? Do I get that, you know, or do I not? And if I don't, this is the invitation for everybody, no matter who they are. If I don't get a click with something, can I trust without knowing why I don't get a click? Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to justify it, can I just believe that that's life showing me where to go based on my own, you know, manual, user manual and map that life is giving me through my body, right? It's not up there and the heavens are parting. It's here in the mundane, here and now. Can I just move with that? And so that's their invitation, really.
And it doesn't mean that that kind of visceral body sense, it doesn't mean that the decision's always going to be easy, right? It could be that your greatest work is there.
Yes.
Yeah. Fascinating. I feel like so many things in the past, like if it wasn't a full body, you know, as you described, it didn't work out in the end.
Yeah.
Didn't feel good for me. I didn't enjoy it. Something went sideways. Yes. Fascinating.
And that's what's so profound, is that generators often are terrified to just have a little bit of time to do nothing. So they'll try to busy themselves because they do have that sacral that's cranking. So they'll be like, no, I can afford to just go and do this and go and do that. But A, you're not being available. B, you're wasting that desirous energy on something else so that you can't pour into the good thing. And then, like you said, it's almost like it's actually wasting more time and energy to do things that don't, because life eventually is going to say, honey, you're going down a direction that I don't want you down. So let me lovingly go and retrace your steps, because this isn't where you're supposed to work out. So it actually costs us a lot more than we think in the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can think about specific moments in my life where there was like a hard recourse.
Wow.
Even shifting into wellness, like I went from the beauty field into wellness, and there was like a hard reset, almost like a decision was made for me. So fascinating.
That's fascinating. Okay. And then you have manifestors. Manifestors, they're very, very fascinating creatures. They have a massive aura. And they have a massive aura that when they walk in the room, you feel. Whether they're trying to make you feel it or not, they have this impact, right? And so the role of manifestors is really, you know, I know we talk about manifesting a lot, but manifestors are the ones who are supposed to sort of flick and start the dominoes for everybody else. Everybody else has a different thing. So for you, you are responding to life as a generator because something comes along and lights you up. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to go and create and make something light you up and force for it to happen. It's very much a life is just sending you this sushi. You know, when you're in front of the sushi belt and something just comes along. Yeah. And then you pick it. It's like that. You just have to have your eyes very open. With manifestors, they're the ones that kind of, they're the fire starters. They get the ball rolling. They, you know, nudge people in different directions. And it's all about them doing what they want to do and just going off in that direction, regardless of whoever is coming with them, not coming with them, whatever. It's not about looking at the approval from others. They get these strong urges from the universe to literally create a different path for people. So you think about like Gloria Steinem and J.K. Rowling and J.R.R. Tolkien. They literally just went off and made movements. Historically, all the kings and queens, mostly, and people that conquered, you know, land and stuff, all were manifestors. So they're the people that lead the charge, right? And it's not necessarily an aggressive way or an obvious leading way. It could be like, you could be, a friend of mine is a poet and she's just creating a world within this world and other people are joining her. So with them, they're very much governed by the voice. And so for them, it's like, you have to just explain to people what it is you're doing. Don't go off in hiding and do your thing in silence. Like, let people join you in on that ride, because there are going to be people who are going to want to get on that train. So instead of them, their conditioning is, I wait for approval and then I do, instead of I do and I invite people in and then I'll get all the approval, but it won't even matter anymore because right. I'm doing what
They're
my heart.
They're doing what they want to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So manifestors are very spontaneous people. And their energy runs in bursts. So they're people who, when they're on, they're at 200%. They can go and go and go at 200%. And then once they're done, they disappear. And then they're off. They're closed for business. And then they get another urge and then they're cranking. So for example, when we're talking about exercise, this is such a good application of it. They're people who should be, okay, I'm doing CrossFit for 3 weeks and then I'm taking a week off. Right. You know, or I'm into, my sister is a manifestor. She does F45 for forever and ever and ever, or runs.
Yeah.
And then she'll go and do, you know, yin yoga, for example.
She knows.
Depending on the phases of her life and her day. And she's an actress, so she can do these 16-hour days. And then when she's in between, she's like,
she's recovering.
Don't bother me, you know? So they're very spontaneous, and generators are very sort of good at creating that life force. So then you have manifesting generators, and they're a hybrid of the two. So they have the spontaneity of the manifester, but they have the power, the staying power of the generator, where they can kind of pour into things on a, you know, pretty sort of level basis rather than be up and down all the time. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that everyone needs rest. You know, let's just get that one out of the way. But manifesting generators, because they have that spontaneity, they don't have that sort of devotion that the generators do to become a master of a craft. Mm. What they do is that they are multi-directional then, because of the spontaneity. So they need more different things. So they're going to be people who are much more likely to be multi-hyphenates. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that on the side, or they're going to pivot halfway through. They have such conditioning, Mona, around like, you have to finish what you started. You know, you have to do the same thing all the time. Otherwise, how are you ever going to be successful?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So they very, very much need to understand that with them, it's that limitless, multi-passionate curation of that in them that makes them successful.
Probably drives them. Right? It probably drives them.
Yes.
And that probably brings more opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so instead of whenever you're jumping from one to the next or adding one more to the bow, it's never lost if you've become more of that, and it will transfer so quickly. Mm. So it's not about mastering one skill. It's about letting life show you with the lily pads, like which one to kind of, yeah, they can hold a lot of different things, and their brains work in different ways. So for example, I have a lot of people that come to me when I used to do readings for kids, or, you know, now when it comes up at conversations, a lot of people say it's ADD, but I'm like, oh, they also just need more in their brain than other people do, because otherwise they get bored.
Fascinating. One of the criticisms from my son's teacher last year was that he would just sit and look at the clock. And I tried to say to her, like, you know, you as a 7-year-old sit in a hard chair in a sterile room, you know, listening to something that might not interest you. Of course you're going to look at the clock, right?
Yeah.
Then when he's outside, he's free. He's moving around. He's moving his body. So, like, I see that within him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying this, and I'm thinking, like, I've always wanted to live in my husband's head for a day because he can have all of these things happening and give equal attention to both and not feel depleted.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
And it's amazing to watch. That's the thing, is that when you are so comfortable in your own design, you can really, really vicariously enjoy other people being different without thinking, I should be like that. They're wrong. I'm doing it wrong. They're right. Whatever, all of that stuff. You just get to enjoy other people in their essence, which is so nice. And, you know, this friend of mine who has a manifesting generator son, you know, all the kids who were like, the parents were like, he has to go to special needs, da, 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 da. You know, special attention. I said, literally put him in judo for 2 hours, 3 days a week. Right. He's a different kid.
Gosh, and this is my dream. If we can just learn how to teach our kids the way that they need to be taught instead of this turnkey system that is not working, I think that our children would flourish and thrive. Yeah,
completely.
All right.
And then you have projectors. So projectors are projectors and reflectors are what we call non-energy beings. What does that mean? So they don't have a sacral. and they don't have the urges that manifestors have. So what they do is that they take in other people's sacral and they ride off other people's sacral. So when I'm with you as a projector, I'm taking in your energy, I'm riding high off of it. Back to what I was saying earlier about getting too stimulated, what can happen is I'm amplifying your energy. I'm feeding off of it. It feels way more to me than it does to you because it's your norm. Right. Whereas to me, I'm like, wow, oh my gosh. So the trick is not to get sort of high off of that because it's not who you are inherently. So you can crash if you're, anyway.
You're a projector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So projectors are basically people who, because they don't have that sacral, they can sort of watch other people's sacral and find ways to, I always say projectors, all projectors are obsessed with efficiency. So they always are looking for ways that things can be improved or like better things or different ways. And they see deeply into people because that, like the word projector is my aura is a very one-on-one aura. So I'm shining a light on you and I'm seeing you. So projectors, very good at seeing people, seeing deeply into people. Generators, actually projectors and generators have a very special relationship because the projector makes the generator feel seen. And the generator gives you that juicy life force that we all crave so much, right? So it's a very nice dynamic.
That's literally my experience of you. Even from the first day that we met, it's like everything stopped around us and I was just with you for the moment.
And we were at dinner with like 40 people.
Totally, in a loud restaurant too.
So the whole point about projectors is that because they are non-energy beings, their biggest conditioning is you've got to keep up with the rest of the world in order to be successful. Actually, most of our quote-unquote work is about noticing what things can be made better. So it's a lot more of a sort of brought back energy and an observation and not about pushing what you see on other people, but waiting until people actually ask you for the advice.
Wow.
And one of the main things is also not to realize that just because you see things, you're not right about everything. It's usually like every projector has a niche that they see, right? Mm-hmm. So you could be a projector that sees legal documents in a different way or a tech system in a better way or, you know, astrology in a better way, design, photography. There's, you know, none of these energy types are limited into what jobs are best for them. But with a projector, it's always about you're going to be valued more when you're sharing improvements and opportunities that things could be made better rather than trying to prove how, you know, efficient you are and all this, you know what I mean? That kind of go, go, go and look at me and I'm so productive, because that does burn them out. And you always know that a projector is living their design when they are older and they still have life force in them, because otherwise you will burn out
too
quick. Late,
too young.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the big thing with projectors is we have to do the physical productivity less, but much more of the seeing. And the seeing is not they're sitting on the couch watching Netflix. That's not how we have to take an active role in refining whatever our fascination is, whatever our niche is, actively sort of cultivating our, you know, bent on it, our specific angle on it, and really doubling down so the world can see it so that they can invite it.
And you're so good at doing that. I feel like sometimes when I go to your Instagram and your stories, which are so helpful, you'll put a different spin on what's happening. And it's almost like I feel like there's a decompression. It's like, okay, here's what's happening, but here's another way to see it. Mm-hmm. You know, trust the process. You don't have to be so enrolled in the story and the agenda. Yeah. And just hearing those roles, those words is just like a full decompression, which I think a lot of us need living today.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you finish this part.
Oh, and then we have reflectors. Okay. So reflectors, they're 1% of the population. They're super rare. Yeah. 1 in 100 people roughly. And they are, if you imagine when you're looking at a chart, there's some places that are colored, which are the things you have. And then there's other things which you don't have. Of all the 9 centers, they have all of them white. What does that mean? When you have it open, they're taking in the world from every area because they have little to no buffer of their own stuff. So they are complete mirrors and chameleons. They are so susceptible, therefore, to their environment. You remember how I was saying to you, projectors are amplifying the sacral? Reflectors are amplifying your root, your sacral chakra, the energy in the environment, the thoughts, the inspiration, the ideas, the heart, the ego, the fears, the spleen, everything.
Wow.
So for them, you can put them in one place and they can have a completely different personality. You know, all of us kind of chameleon. Yeah. Imagine that on steroids.
Complete
so wherever
chameleon.
They are, is what they become. And the reason why we need reflectors in this kind of perfect sorting mechanism of who's who and, you know, everyone fitting well together is because it's through a reflector that we can see how well we're doing as a society.
Wow.
Yeah. So if the reflectors are well, then where they are is well.
Mm.
If they're not well, that tells you a lot. Now, for them, the main thing is obviously, again, they can do anything that they want. But the main thing with them is because they so believe they're a personality in a place. Like if I'm sitting here with you and I'm a reflector and I'm not in touch with my design, I'm not listening to my energy type, I could all of a sudden feel like I want to start a podcast.
Mm.
And so then they're very spontaneous when they're not being their real selves. So they have all this direction in their head that they're actually just taking from their environment, making them feel some kind of a way.
Right.
So with them, the real way that they have to start living their design is to not believe that what they're feeling is theirs and not create a narrative around it so that they actually can take it in. It becomes wisdom that they can reflect then to you about what they're seeing, because they're seeing something that feels like a 1% to you in a 10% way. If I'm not mistaking that as my own 10%, I can show you that. I can reveal you that because I'm a mirror for you and a magnifier for you, right? So it's that wisdom that they can have and, again, apply it to everything. It's not about sitting on a, you know, meditation pillow and downloading right. it. But with them, the way that they have to get through life is to not be spontaneous and to actually understand that life, because they don't have any internal gut speaking to them or mine is emotion speaking to me, for example, life is speaking to them through the cycles of the moon, actually.
Hmm.
So with them, the things you have to listen to is the waiting for something that reoccurs to you many, many times that has, you know, panned out over different environments you've been in, you know, is not being swayed by other people, places and things. It's like, oh, I've constantly had a whisper to write a book and it's been over a month. Okay, that tells me that it's a part of really the direction that's right for me rather than...
It stays with them. Mm-hmm. It's not fleeting.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking this too through the lens of a child and a parent who doesn't know that they have a child who's this reflector. The energy that they would take on from other people might make them feel, you know, especially that they don't fit in or crazed or maybe even ADD or ADHD, right?
100%.
So imagine the knowingness of that when you're younger, as a parent, as a child, mm-hmm. to know how to parent your child, right?
It's my favorite thing about human design is the potential to pass this on to a generation who haven't been exposed to, I'm getting chills, the conditioning that we have to undo, and so how much they will soar
mm-hmm.
because they just have less work to decondition.
And we all know, like, our kids are the way that they are, and you can't make it up. Like, you have no idea how they learn it. It's literally their essence. And so having a framework behind it to help guide them or coach them or make them feel accepted or that they belong is everything.
Yeah.
This is just so, so special.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about the manifesting aspect, but two parts of this. So you said that there's 1% of these reflectors, right? So there's not an equal balance
Mm-mm.
of each type.
No.
And do you think that this is intentional because of the state of the world and what we're going through?
Right. So the numbers and the proportions have shifted over the years. So we always have exactly what we need at any given time, which is fascinating.
So every single person listening, you are needed,
mm-hmm.
you belong, whether you know it or not, or what path you're on, or your purpose, or anything, you're mm-hmm. needed and you belong.
Yes.
That is magic.
Yeah.
So what's really lighting me up right now, because I really think that this needs to be a foundation also for my work with my clients.
Mm.
When I went back to the ashram to heal after my heart surgeries, right? At the ashram, they practice yoga, meditation, time and community, doing lots of breath work and meditation. And there's lots of purging also that happens. And you're in a community that's almost desperate to kind of remember who they are, get in touch with their true heart center.
Mm.
And when you're there in the community, there's radical acceptance for the path that you're on, right? And you don't know why you're going through all of those things, but you understand that it's part of your evolution and your higher growth.
Mm.
So for whatever reason that happened to me, when I started working with my clients, I learned very quickly, you know, going on a diet, the exercise protocol could work until it didn't. right? Mm. And the people that ended up staying with me long term were the people where I could support them in shifting their vibration. So, you know, take them from a high profile CEO, go, 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 hardcore every single day, to stopping, breathing, and getting into their bodies, where most of them didn't even know how to get, right? Mm. And I think it's this shift that's been the foundation of everything that I do. So can you talk about how human design can really tie into one's health and one's healing?
Yeah.
And how these gifts that are listed that you provide in your app and in your book, how they can really help guide us to healing?
Yeah. Well, there's a much, much deeper, I also train people in this modality. And in level three, we cover something called the four transformations. And the four transformations, basically the idea behind them is that that's the things that you have to check and balance in order to be able to be a genius in this world. And everybody has that capacity.
Mm. But everyone has that capacity.
Everyone has that capacity. Like, we think it's the exception that there's an Elon Musk or whatever. It's everybody has that capacity, but you cannot get there unless there are four things in place. Number one, you're digesting life the right way. Mm. So that means taking in food, which is the densest form of conditioning that there is.
Absolutely.
And also information. So you need to be taking in the right life in the right way. The second, you need to be in the right environment so you can be in the right place, right time to notice the things from the world that are going to make you awaken that genius, right? Third thing, you have to have the right perspective on it, because you and I could both be looking at that cup and taking in different aspects of it. Mm. And then the fourth one is your motivation. So what is it that motivates you to pull that then back out of you, right? Because the digestion is what you're taking in. The environment and the perspective is that internal alchemy that's happening, that you're turning it into something, and then what motivates you to get it back out. So digestion is something that we very much deeply cover in human design. And what's really fascinating about it, for example, is it will tell you, you know, there are people who are not supposed to skip breakfast because their digestion is about daytime eating, and they are supposed to stop eating when the sun goes down. So for them, you know, I very much say, if you want to skip a meal, skip dinner.
Absolutely.
You know,
not breakfast.
Things like that. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who need to only eat hot foods because their system needs the stimulation of that warmth. Some people are already overheated. You know, this is very Ayurvedic
too. Yeah.
So they need to eat cold to actually calm the system down so they can take in the information the right way. Mm-hmm. People need to eat the same thing every day. Imagine being a person who's like, I need to get all the different 30 different plants in every week and da da da. But for them, actually, the simplification is what helps them. So there's that aspect of it in terms of, you know, food and all that sort of thing. Also, eating and working out and sleeping according to energy type is really important. So there's, I mean, on my website, I have whole, you know, 45-minute breakdowns of what each type should do based on those things. Because remember, like I was telling you with the manifesto, like, work out hard until you've had enough and then just, you know, go chill. Mm-hmm. Whereas, for example, different things are different types. And there's a lot in there. And going really deeply, like I was saying in my level three training, every single gift is also tied to a specific genetic amino acid in the DNA. Mm. And it's also tied to a specific body part. So, like, you know, one of the points is a gallbladder. And then, so sometimes what can happen is it's a two-way street, right? So the environment can affect the gallbladder, but also the way we're using that gallbladder's energy can affect, you know, the way that we feel. So it's the same as, like, you know, with anxiety, for example, it can be either generated in yourself or too much coffee can give it to you. It's mm-hmm. that same thing. So obviously the world and the things that we expose ourselves to can make us not well, but also we have to be ourselves and we have to live in alignment, because our body is just, because the body lives inside the aura, it's just the most physical way of measuring what's happening in the aura. So the body's going to be the signal that's like, oh, whoa, 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 you're not living your design.
And what's the one thing we're never taught is how to listen to our bodies, right? We ignore the symptoms and the cues. And so much of what you're speaking ties directly. Like, there's all these common threads to Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine. Also, it's like,
yeah,
again, this is that ancient wisdom mm-hmm. that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's sources of information and guidance that can just help us live with more ease. And what was fascinating to me, so when I was looking up my human design and digestion, buzzing atmosphere mm-hmm. came up. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing because I was feeling guilty for not practicing what I preach to a lot of my clients, which is like, you know, set the tone, the atmosphere for digestion to take place, because digestion takes up a tremendous amount of energy. I was eating while I was standing. I was eating while I was moving around, making my kids dinner. And sure enough, this is exactly how I was supposed to be eating.
Yeah. It's so crazy that when it just makes you realize that, you know, first of all truth is, it all leads to the same place, you know?
And again, what is it the reminder of, though? Like the guilt that we feel because we're listening to what is being preached in society. And don't get me wrong, like there's a lot of doctors and practitioners and experts who have the science to back it up.
Yeah.
But there's also the science to back up everything else.
Exactly.
With it, it really just depends on you and your constitution, right?
Yeah.
So let's just declare that once and for all, because you're so good at just calling and taking ownership on turning down the noise of what social media and the news is telling us to do and to be, and instead starting to turn on your own body's intuition for what feels good for you.
Yes. And I think it's such a tall order to say, start listening to yourself. I remember being in my 20s and hearing that when I would go to lecture, you know, spiritual lectures and stuff when I first started, and being like, but how? And what this gave me was, this is the manual of how I get mine. You know, this is how mine sounds. When people said gut feeling, I always kind of felt like I ish understood what they meant, but I have never felt a gut feeling because I don't have one. Yeah. It's my intuition speaks to me in a different way.
Right.
So just to have that clarification of this is how you specifically listen to yourself, you know, that's really what this affords us, because we are all so different.
And would you say that human design is a spiritual practice?
It is, if you believe that the greatest task that we all have here is to become the people we are meant to become. So by that definition, absolutely, it's a spiritual practice in the sense that you are fulfilling the contract that you made to your soul before you came here, and you're doing right by it. You know, you're saying and doing, putting your money where your mouth is, and saying, okay, I've been given this specific set of stuff, and now instead of trying to question it and contort out of it, what if I just really honored that there might be something beautiful here, like there is in everyone, and I didn't miss out on the, you know, it wasn't like missed out in the universal God's, you know, selection process. Like everybody has it.
Right.
And so let me see if this life is worth me just trying to see if there actually is something really amazing on the other side of being myself rather than being who I was told to be.
Just try it on. That's all you have to do.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah. Because if someone asks you how it makes you feel, you'll generally be able to answer them, whether it's a gut intuition type of a feeling or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so special.
Yeah.
So how then, people then go down this path of getting more understanding of who they are, what their gifts are. And now we get onto the topic of trauma. Okay. Trauma is a buzz. It's a hot topic. Releasing trauma for a lot of people getting into their bodies is scary because they don't know how to do it. And I think for a lot of the people who are out there with a strong voice on social media, it's something that is really traumatizing. And so all of a sudden people are like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't want to dig up trauma within my body. Mm-hmm. But can you maybe put a different lens over addressing the trauma within our body from the human design lens, and really how it can just come with empathy or sympathy for oneself or what you've been through?
That's beautiful. I think, you know, the body, we know this, the body knows everything. The body, you know, is a recording device for our life story. And what happens, what's really helpful to understand that, for example, if you know that your solar plexus governs your emotions and you're someone who always feels tight, you know, near your diaphragm, for example, and you know that you are emotional, like me, emotional authority in human design, to know that that's where things are tight, to know that that's where there's this knots of things going on, ironically, you know, again, a lot of the time we try to use our mind to figure things out. And so we're trying to figure out the trauma with our minds, right? Whereas actually, the more you, instead of a different approach you can take, is instead of trying to undo the lack of using emotion properly because of what happened to you in your past, you can start putting energy into honoring that emotion and reframing that emotional authority. So people with emotional authority, we are, and some generators are emotional authority, manifesting generators, all different kinds can be emotional authority except for reflectors. But for example, 50% of the population is emotional and 50% is non-emotional. So with the emotional people, we have to understand that our emotions, our moods go up and down regardless of what's going on for us, right? And we are only clear when we're in that middle point, but we judge, all of us judge the negative emotions, the negative states when you're not, you're feeling off, you're feeling bluesy, you're feeling whatever. And so anyway, with emotional authority, if you are emotional, that means that your emotions govern your entire body in human design. Actually learning to honor that emotional wave, we call it, right? And to make decisions and to run your life according to that emotional wave. What happens is that something that can maybe feel relatively like it has such a big hold over you, you can at least give yourself a baseline of being able to tackle it a bit better, because you've kind of nurtured and watered the part that is, that you're seeing it's a positive thing in you. It's a strong thing in you. The emotions are great. They're your friend. You feel that you are aligned to them and you're listening to them in terms of how to guide your life. So then you're kind of at a more level playing field where you can look at the trauma and it doesn't look so big or so scary. I feel like things that have happened to us, well, firstly, we all get told that we have to be looking at it 24/7. And I believe that that is incorrect conditioning. And second, you know, exactly about, you know, you can bring up your strength and then you can look at your brokenness from a different lens, you know, but also that sometimes it's a story that we told ourselves in our heads around what happened to us. And actually, when you are grown in your consciousness, you can easily, like you're saying, asking about ease, you can see above the parapet rather than trying to see it at the level at which it was created. So growing your own alignment actually helps you to then look at it with, oh, I can see why it happened. Maybe you're not at compassion straight away, but you're like, oh, you know, my parents did this to me because, wow, their parents did that. So obviously, it's almost like a computer program. Like, of course, they wouldn't. There wouldn't be any other way they would have to treat me, for example, or, you know. So building yourself up, I think, is really an important sort of tactic, if you will, if you feel scared to go towards the things that are hurtful.
This is so special because, you know, we're living at a time where anxiety and depression is on the rise, right? As well as mental health disorders. And yes, if that is someone, you know, if that's something that resonates with you, I think that it's important to seek some help. But I think that what you're saying right now is you're shedding light in a completely different way to almost take the memory or the sadness or the event or the trauma that you had that continues to live in darkness within you. And every time you play that chord or that memory, you're making it stronger and stronger and stronger. What I hear you saying is instead, like, let's move that memory into the light right now. And if you were to become your greatest caregiver, what would you do for that version of yourself? How would you look at it differently? Makes me emotional just thinking about it. Right?
It's really, really beautiful. Sometimes things that you think would take mountains to move to change, when you just have popped out your head above the parapet, it's like you can't help but see it differently. And it's not to say that people don't, you know, have go through real harm and real horrible things. But ultimately, I do believe we all want to be, you know, free of it. And so you're more likely to feel the pain of it when you feel helpless in your own life and out of your own strength, because it feels like it controls you. If you realize that you have the power to be the commander of your own self and work and flex that command of self, which is what human design offers, then it's easier.
So would you say that through your work with human design over the past, must be a decade now, has it given you guidance in how to wake up with happiness?
So being emotional and being run by this emotional wave, I know now there are days where I'm going to be more down and there are days when I'm going to feel like, you know, I'm in Enchanted, the movie, right? And I'm opening the doors and the birds are singing.
That was
and
today
the whole
for
thing.
Me.
There you go.
Yesterday, no.
So it's interesting because I know that there's different levels of happiness, if you will, in the sense that a mood is there for a reason. The reason why we have such avoidance over negative states. And actually, that's one of the things I think is really causing our suffering. But actually, you know, some of the best songs have been written from people being down. Some of the best art, some of the best ideas, some of the best ways that people have turned their lives around. So it's our societal kind of like, ooh, better not be around anyone and just lock yourself in a door and have shame around it and hide that you're ever feeling something. That's a really big deal. So there's my learning is that there are two levels of happiness in the sense that one is sort of up and down daily mood, but it's not aggressive. It's not pushing other people away. It's if I'm feeling bluesy, I can still be open about it and inviting people into it and we can explore it together. Or we can just go on about our day and I'm just okay with being bluesy, for example. Mm-hmm. Underneath that, there is the happiness that is more stable, that is fulfillment, right? And that is feeling like who you are, you like who you're becoming. You feel like you have your own back. And that's really the lasting happiness, that is a daily. You know, of course, when life's challenges come, it challenges that thing so then it can grow to the next level. But you have that constant thing where, like you were saying about being your own parent, like you do have your own back. And that does bring a different level of happiness where you do feel like, wow, the colors are more popping. You're aware that you're in this unbelievable creation mm-hmm. in this movie that you're dancing with all the time, you know?
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that because just before the show, we're talking about this is a really profound time. A lot of us are finally letting go of a version of ourselves that we're just done with. The state of the world is in, you know, a high state of intensity. And a lot of us, although we're having this discussion, a lot of days can feel like, oh my gosh, okay, mm-hmm. we're here again. And it's really easy to get stuck in that loophole, I think, but having more conversations like these,
yeah.
right? And, you know, again, going back to children, like if we were just taught to see the beauty that comes with having this human experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just letting time pass us by. Because, you know, even from my experience, when it comes to people's healing journey, the more that they can live on the side of just even having a glimpse of happiness and some ease and compassion mm-hmm. and forgiveness, you make choices that are more aligned with your highest self, right?
Mm-hmm.
You optimize your digestion, right? Yeah. When you're in that state also. And this is a big thing with Ayurveda. When we optimize our digestion, you can eat a lot of the foods that we consider to be the, you know, not so healthy foods. And your body's like, all right, I can deal with this,
mm.
right? Like there's a way to just be in balance. So it's really important that we touched on that.
Mm.
All right. And the big question now, because the other trend is manifesting. Okay. So I'm a big believer in manifesting health.
Mm-hmm.
One of the visualizations that I love doing with my clients is like really visualizing the health and the mindset and the state of being that you want to be in and making it feel real and imagining the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm learning from you is that manifesting looks different for all of us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
How do we manifest?
So that sort of the visualization imagination part is sort of applicable for all of us, really. But in terms of manifesting physical things in the world, that's really where your energy tap comes in. So like I was saying to you about like picking stuff off the sushi belt
mm-hmm.
versus just going out and having an urge to do things, that is every energy type has what we call a strategy, which is how they create things in life. And when you listen to your strategy, that's when there's more ease and flow. When you fight against your strategy, you're trying to, you know, make fetch happen, for want of a better word. And so you have to, and it's not like you read it once and you're done with it. It's something that you have to practice day after day, because the more you do it, the better you get at it. And that's when something that used to, you know, doing one, listening to your strategy on one thing gets you to 10, mm. the next time gets you to 20. So you get more and more better results because you're living in sync with that thing inside you that's telling you how to move through the world. And the universe is desperate to use aligned people to get its mission happening, right? So it's like, okay, she's in the flow. Let's send the resources and the skills and the synchronicities and the opportunities, all of this, because it's wanting you to get there.
Mm-hmm.
When we're operating against ourselves, that's when we were talking about it takes away the resources, the connections, the synchronicities, because it's trying to tell you this is not your path. And that's the way we should know. So with manifesting, course, we have to be clear on the intention, and the clearer we can be before we take the action, the more aligned the action, because it's better to take one shot on target than 100 that aren't.
Right.
So it's about you align first from that third eye, you know, which is another center in the chart, and then you align with the way you go about taking the action, because it's important to take the action too, because the universe wants you to see that you're serious about what your intention is.
So it's not just affirming, writing down everything that you want and, you know, with repetition. And I'm guessing that you learned this through your personal practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Still do.
Yeah.
Still do.
So, you know, automatically people are probably wondering, well, what is there a protocol? Is there something that people listening right now can start doing right away?
Yes. So what I recommend is you go to either on the website, there are deeper courses about each individual thing. So like I was telling you, if you want like a 45-minute deep dive on, you know, food and sleep and nutrition for your type and exercise, it's there. But the very easy access point is the app, because it gives you a description of everything about your chart. And you can either read it or I read it to you on audio. And usually what I say to people is kind of, if there's something that really piques your interest, something you really resonate with, just start with one thing and work on that one thing for a while. But the most important thing, it's incredible to know what gifts you have. It's incredible to know your incarnation cross and your digestion. And if you manifest by being specific or non-specific and, you know, all these other things that go in to your chart, the two most important things are living according to your energy type and listening to your authority, which is that we're talking about your gut. Is it your emotions? Is it your instinct? Is it your ego? Is it your willpower? Is it your, there's so many different types that we all have intuition that shows up for us different ways. So if we used our energy correctly and we listen to our intuition in every single moment through our body, then actually what would happen is you would actually start living all the other parts of your chart without even knowing what they were.
You turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without even knowing.
Right.
So those two things are the sort of rudimentary daily practice that I still go through every single day. It's like everything in life, the answer is either I need to realign my energy type. Not everything in life, but, you know, in terms of alignment and getting to where I want to go, becoming who I want to become, it's either because I need to make a decision that I need to listen to my emotions on, or that I need to use my energy, tweak the way that I use my energy. And it never stops. You just go higher and higher.
And so let's make sure, so people who are going to go and figure out their human design, is there a practice every day? Like, are you checking in every single day? Are you writing yourself a note so that you remind yourself, oh yeah, that's the way I'm supposed to be. Mm. Or no, I'm not supposed to do things like this.
Well, so there's also different, what we call profiles, which are your personality. So different people learn different ways. Some people learn with loads of information and deep diving. Some people learn by trial and error. So many different types of things. There's 12 profiles as well. So the main thing I would say is obviously do it the way that you want to integrate it. But on the app, you get a customized tip that is custom to your chart every single day. So that's like a way of grounding it into the reality. So we could talk about like how to shop as an emotional, or you would get the tip, someone else would get the tip, how to shop as a non-emotional, right? So it's kind of like, I'm so passionate about making it so like in the mundane in real life. So it's not this other thing that's your spiritual practice and then your real life is on the side. So we have that. And then there's also customized meditations in the app. So for example, like, you know, you can do the generator meditation when you want to realign with like listening to that gut or whatever. And you can do that as many times as you want. And there's loads of different other sort of audios and tools in there that kind of surround your actual design. There's another section in there called How to Grow, which is all about like the principles behind it and kind of the topics we're talking about now.
Yeah.
There's another one called Alignment 101, which is all about like literally how you stack one piece of consciousness onto the other. So you can get that head above the parapet. So it's very, very, I'm very passionate about hand-holding people through this information because it can be very overwhelming. So the tools in there are for you to really explore the best way for you to do it. And then there's also a discussion group, so discussion forum. So if you learn by sharing it with other people, connecting with other people who have the same stuff as you, we also have those people covered.
Your voice on the app is everything, because it kind of just allows you to sit back and take everything in. And I immediately went, and if you live with somebody, have a partner or loved one in your house, go and do their human design also. Me and my husband are both emotional. And I was like, oh, totally like empathy, total empathy now for like how he makes decisions, how I make decisions, and the understanding that comes with that.
Yeah.
So to close out, you know, are there any misconceptions in human design? Like for people who are listening who might be a little bit skeptical?
So many.
Yeah. No, I get that. But again, like until you read it and go through it, you just know. Like there's just a knowingness that comes for when you do your human design chart. But let's talk about like one big skepticism that you see shifting in today's modern world.
That's a good question. To be honest with you, I really feel like people find it when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that I serve and speak to are all people who already are wanting it. I don't believe that everybody in this lifetime is meant to, you know, care about these certain things, and that's fine. They're also playing their role. You know, maybe they have different karma. They have different reasons for being here and incarnating. You know, sometimes I think about what a friend said to me once is like, you know, what if one person's purpose of this life was just to stay sober?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that's enough.
That's enough for them. And they could win at that more than we're winning at doing all the complex other things that we're adding to our plate than just staying sober, right?
So absolutely.
There's a real sort of, you know, acceptance of people who aren't interested is absolutely fine. But I really have yet to meet a person who has come across it and not felt absolutely seen. When I used to do one-on-one readings, sometimes people would get it for their skeptical boyfriend or husband. And by the end, they'd be, you know, they'd feel a very different way about it. So that's a very beautiful gift about the accuracy of human design. It takes me out of the equation.
Mm.
I'm just relaying the information. And, you know, I'm still curious every single time if it's going to resonate with someone. And it always does. And I've, you know, millions and millions of people done their charts. So,
and I vouch for that completely. Is there one thing that people can start doing to manifest great health?
Ooh, okay. I think the number one thing, we were touching upon this before, is like, you know, clearing old emotions out of the body. Sometimes it's the mind, again, back to that mind, thinking it's in charge, can be addicted to the story of I'm not well, or I'm broken, or I'm whatever. And it is easier to feel that way because it does give you some kind of stimulation to your system when you're not using proper stimulus in the world, interacting with life, right? That's what's supposed to energize us, is our interaction with life. So we sometimes try to source interaction from like lesser fuels. And so that is from that state that I'm broken, I'm not good enough, I'm this, I'm that, start to feel bigger and start to feel like they give us a little bit of aliveness or something, right? Some kind of adrenaline release when we hold that even in our subconscious. Whereas I really have seen so many times that people who start to take the risk, not believe that they're a powerful creator on day one, but take the risk in doing the steps to actually see and if they can find out. Mm. F around and find out, you know, and then when they do find out, a lot of that other stuff starts to become less attractive anyway. And so the body lets go because it's not a priority anymore.
Right. It's done. Mm-hmm. The lesson's learned.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a special gift. And I really would love for all of you to just learn about this. It just puts a different lens onto your path, your journey, whatever your current goals are. And it kind of just extracts you from the limitations of the mind to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden it just feels a little less overwhelming. And again, it just really feels like there's a sense of belonging and you were made perfectly as you are.
Absolutely.
Where can people find you?
I'm Jenna Zoe on Instagram. I'm also My Human Design on Instagram. And then the website is myhumandesign.com and the app is My Human Design.
And for us book readers?
Oh, yes, I have a book too. I forgot about that. I have a book called Human Design. It's by me, Jenna Zoe, and it's on Amazon. Very easy to find. And that will give you the sort of handbook that you can, I imagined it like keep it on your coffee table and look up people. And it goes deeper into all the gifts than anywhere else. So
beautiful.
It's just a deeper dive.
Some quick rapid fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you think that people are making healing and health too complicated?
Information overload. And too much of it conflicts and then we're stuck in the middle.
Turn down the noise.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite ancient healing remedy?
Ooh. You know, I love enemas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No one's ever said that.
I love
that.
Enemas. Yeah.
What do you love about them?
I feel that all the static and the energy and the everything that we feel from the outside world, somehow it does get stored in the aura. And through the body is when it becomes physical.
Mm-hmm.
When you do an enema, you're almost creating a valve for more of that release of things that are only right now energetic because there's too much physical in the body. You're creating a vacuum for that to then kind of pour through.
Beautiful.
It feels like it's a cleanse, right? So it's letting go of all the stuff that's held in the matter that, you know, everything gets, our matter holds everything, right? So all of the associated memories, smells, things we don't need, old belief systems. I've had some wacky things happen to me by doing enemas, so I think they're really cool. And also after a flight, you're so dehydrated from the inside, you can't drink enough water when you're gassy from your cycle, all those kind of things. I feel like
it's an incredible modality. Yeah, I love that you brought that up. All right, if you had to pick something about modern medicine that excites you, what would it be?
Interestingly enough, I do think that what I love, because I come at it from that customization lens, I do feel that things are slowly moving in that direction where, you know, with functional medicine and stuff, they're not prescribing everything to the same people and they're trying to get your story involved in it and all that kind of thing. So I actually haven't really delved into it, but I love the idea that, you know, things are getting more custom.
I love that. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. You are so special. Thank you for all the work that you do. You are empowering us to take just full ownership and acknowledgement of our true selves. And by fostering deeper understanding for who we are and why, I think just liberates us so much. And that is such a gift. I hope you know that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to come and hang out with
you. Yeah, I know, totally. To be continued.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.